bring it up, Jake. You bet on the BetMGM Network. Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, our crew, and you. The Power Hour and every hour here on You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. Coming up 20 minutes from now, Femi and I will reveal to you, dear listener and dear viewer, the bets that we've already made for next week in the NFL and college football, and the bets that we are eyeing and hashtag monitoring. That'll be 20 minutes from now. And 40 minutes from now, it's all our bets for tonight with the Lions and the Ravens in an absolute banger on Monday Night Football. Baltimore holding as a 4.5-point home favorite. The total in the game is 54. And obviously, it'll be a monster topic of conversation tomorrow on the show. Who wins the game? How it happens? I think it will reverberate throughout the futures market. Baltimore versus Detroit tonight, a monster Monday Night Football game. All our bets are coming up to end the show. But for right now, want to hit a couple more games that we saw yesterday, Week 3 NFL Sunday, and spin it forward from the betting perspective. And we'll go now to the AFC South. The Jaguars-Texans game. Now, I have Jaguars to win the division from before the season. I have a Texans win total under bet. So I am pleased with the result of the game. I'm very happy the Jaguars won. This is like a bottom 5 percentile football game. It was a horrible, horrible watch. A terrible game. With offensive football set back to when, like, pterodactyls and triceratops roam the planet. Trevor Lawrence. Honestly, like, Lawrence had some bad throws in the game. Like, his receivers can't catch. And it's a big problem when, and I actually want to bring, because I thought I had this off the top, I want to make sure I get this right. I'm going to bring up the box score here. And the reason why I like Jacksonville before the season was because of the receivers and what I thought this offense could be. Brenton Strange, you know, doctor's son, and Parker Washington combined for 18 targets in yesterday's game. Brenton Strange and Parker Washington. That is 10 more than Brian Thomas Jr. and Travis Hunter combined for. They had 8 in the game. 3 first-round picks between the two of them. 1 for Thomas, 2 for Hunter. 8 targets between the two of them. And only 2 for the second overall pick in the draft, Travis Hunter. And somehow, some way, despite Trevor Lawrence missing a bunch of passes, despite the Jaguars dropping another 5 passes, including a couple by... what the hell's going on? Like, BTJ can't catch. Marvin Harrison Jr. can't catch. What's happening with some of these young receivers? The Jaguars win the game. And had no... neither team had any business winning the game. I'm happy the Jaguars did win. And the reason why the Jaguars won... and it's what I said last Tuesday, 6 days ago, after the Texans-Bucks game. And it's what I said leading into the start of the regular season. The Houston Texans offense is the train wreck of all train wrecks. The offensive line might be the worst in the league, although I think that the Raiders might give them a run for their money. We're not going to talk about that game today, because what's there to say? Like, they're terrible. Also, I think they might beat the Bears on Sunday. They're brutal. Their offensive line stinks. The Texans' offensive line is hot garbage. It is brutal. And outside of Nico Collins, CJ Stroud's got no help. And I'm not defending CJ Stroud. But it's just Nico Collins. Here's, like, Christian Kirk's coming to save the day. What effing year is this? Like, come on. You drafted these two receivers from Iowa State, Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel. Neither really plays. Here's Xavier Hutchinson. What an absolute joke. Like, Joe Mixon's out, and here's, like, washed-up Nick Chubb getting the majority of the handoffs. Like, we need to see more Woody Marks here. The offense is completely broken and is wasting a tremendous defense. C.J. Stroud asked about the offensive performance after the game. Said, quote, "I thought we ran the ball well." Okay. "We sometimes threw it well." No, you didn't. "The sun will rise up tomorrow. We'll be able to go back to work, so that's a positive. Everybody's going to talk crazy like they've been doing and have this analysis, and rightfully so." Okay. When I have a bad day in my personal life, or if, like, my wife has a bad day, or someone you love has a bad day, you will generally say to either yourself or that person to try and make them feel better, right? We've all done this. I do it all the time, and I actually use this line verbatim, and you could say some variant of it, right? But I will say, the sun will come out tomorrow. Like, today sucked, but tomorrow's another day. The fact that C.J. Stroud is saying that after an 0-3 start, this isn't like, you know, you have a crappy day at work, and then you sit in traffic on the way home. This isn't that. This is like season's over for the Houston Texans. If you bet the Texans in the game, Texans to win the division, if you thought the Texans could win the Super Bowl maybe, is that what the sun's going to come out tomorrow? Yes, it will. And it'll keep coming out until the end of the regular season, when your bank account will have less money in it than it did at the start of the year. Because this team's D-E-D dead and D-U-N done. Because the offensive line stinks and they have no weapons. They're toast. And C.J. Stroud has regressed. And I don't know if it's because he doesn't trust the line. I'm sure that's part of it. If it's because he doesn't trust his weapons, I'm sure that's part of it. But gone is the swashbuckling C.J. Stroud from his rookie year that's chucking the ball down the field and everybody loves it. I don't know where that guy is. He ain't here. The Texans stink. They are done. And we'll talk about their game against the Tennessee Titans next segment on the show. We'll get to the Titans in a second. Now, as for the Jaguars, an extremely unimpressive win for Jacksonville. They did win, and they are 2-1. It is an unimpressive win. Jacksonville's playoff price right now at BetMGM, yes, is minus 125. So they're favored to make the playoffs right now. And I bet it today. The reason why I like the Jaguars to make the playoffs, even if I'm not sure if they'll win the division because the Colts have been awesome, we'll talk about Colts-Rams next segment as well, with a banger of a game on Sunday in Los Angeles. The reason why I think the Jaguars will make the playoffs, why I have more money on them to make it now, and this could be a wild card in addition to winning the division. The offense has stunk thus far this season. Brian Thomas Jr. looks scared to get hit. Travis Hunter, it feels like, can only play one position on offense. Like, he doesn't play in two wide receiver sets. He only plays in the slot. He's playing defense also. He's not getting targeted. Lawrence is missing passes. Deami Brown's dropping passes. BTJ's dropping passes. Now Deami Brown's hurt. Parker Washington and Brenton Strange getting all these targets. I do have faith, and maybe I'm going to be wrong, but I have faith in Liam Cohen to turn this offense around. I do. And I think as the season goes on, you'll see this run game mature. And I think Bashaul Tuten will be the number one. And there's almost no way it can happen, of course. But doesn't it feel unlikely that it's going to keep going this way for Thomas and Hunter in the passing game? They're 2-1. They should be 3-0. Should have beaten the Bengals in week 2. And we haven't seen anything yet with what this offense could be. And I'm betting on them realizing that potential as the year goes on. You better you bet on this Monday. If you bet the Tennessee Titans yesterday, like Femi did, like I did at close once it hit 6, Sam did, we talked about it yesterday on Countdown to Kickoff, Man, you would have liked to know this information before the game started, before you placed your bet. Listen to this soundbite from Indianapolis Colts wide receiver Michael Pittman.
Yeah, I kind of seen it on the pregame intros. They kind of looked a little sluggish. They're kind of walking around. Nobody was really bouncing. And right then and there, like, we all sat there and we're like, they don't want to play today. And I think that's how we found our edge today, is just mentally we thought that we wanted to play more than they did.
And he's right. They did. Cam Ward picks six on the first series of the game. Kenny Moore takes it back the other way, and it's just like the game's over at that point. And if you bet the Titans, like, obviously you can still cover, but let's be honest. If you bet the Titans, you know you're done once that happens. You can't fall behind 7-0 like that with Cam Ward and that supporting cast, and most importantly, that head coach. Now, the Colts are 3-0. And I thought Sam did a great job last hour talking about Jonathan Taylor, favorite offensive player of the year. And good job by Femi and Jay Croucher on the show last week talking about that before yesterday's game. Shane Steichen, favorite coach of the year. Colts favored to win the AFC South, obviously a big favorite now to make the playoffs. Great start to the year for Indianapolis. Not going to kill the Colts at all. And I kind of like them to cover next Sunday against the LA Rams. I do think even if the offense isn't going to be a top five offense at the end of the year, like, this is a good offense. They're not going anywhere unless players get hurt. You could say that about any team. I'm super impressed by the Colts. But I want to take this into the Tennessee Titans direction. And I want to say something that is going to sound hyperbolic, and perhaps it will prove to be. But I think that there's a chance that it's actually true. I've been watching football for 35 years. 1990 is the first year I watched. This is 2025. I'm a student of the game. I love NFL history. I think there's a realistic chance that when he's fired, not if, when he's fired, that Brian Callahan will go down as the worst head coach in the history of the National Football League. Now, that's a good soundbite, and I admit that. It is a good soundbite for radio. It's a good soundbite for TV. It's a good soundbite for social. But there are three reasons why I think that there's a legitimate chance that he's actually the worst, and that Hugh Jackson would coach circles around him, and Freddie Kitchens would coach circles around him, and Rich Kotite would coach circles around him, Ray Hanley would coach circles around him, Jim Tomsula would coach circles around him. Give me your terrible head coach, and I'll take that terrible head coach over Brian Callahan. Three reasons why. Numero uno, proof's in the pudding. Through 20 games, worst winning percentage ever for a head coach with at least 20 games coached. He's 3-17 straight up. 3-17. Proof's in the pudding. Reason number two. Doesn't know the rules of football. Watch what happened in week one against the Denver Broncos when he didn't know he could challenge an incomplete pass from Elikai Emanuel and was like, laughed out of that press conference. Doesn't know the rules of professional football. Imagine you're an NFL owner and your coach gets up there in a post-game press conference and doesn't know the rule. If he coached in a major market, imagine if he were the Bears coach or the Giants coach or the Patriots coach, or the Cowboys coach, the Eagles coach. Oh my God, he wouldn't make it out alive. Santa didn't make it in Philadelphia. You think this bozo would? He's the Grinch. And the third reason. Freezes like a deer in headlights in big situational spots. What happened at the end of the first half yesterday of the Titans-Colts game, now, in my life, have probably spent, conservatively, 1,000 hours playing Madden exceptionally stoned. Like, bong hits to the face, fire up franchise mode. I have never, and I've never seen anyone rip a gravity, volcano, gravity bong, so stoned that, like, they couldn't tell you the street they grew up on. No one is managing the end of a half the way Brian Callahan did. Comes out on a fourth down, is going to go for it. The Colts call timeout. Okay, great. Then he calls his own timeout after the Colts call timeout sends out the field goal unit after two timeouts and they take a delay of game. And a 56-57-yard field goal becomes 61-62. They kick the field goal and miss it. And then the Colts, couple complete passes, and they kick a field goal to end the first half. So Callahan goes, yeah, we wanted to make it 17-9. Instead, it's 20-6. It's as embarrassing as it gets. And our Odyssey teammate, Ross Tucker, crushed him on the CBS broadcast, and it was deserved. Anytime you want to consider betting on the Tennessee Titans for the rest of the season, you have to realize that you might be backing the worst coach in the history of the NFL. Will we do that this week? We'll talk about it next.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary. This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
All right, Femi will join me in a few moments. We'll give out our bets for the weekend, bets that we've already placed or bets that we like for this coming weekend in football. We will reveal some of the bets that you guys, the real ones, our listeners and viewers, have submitted on YouTube and Twitch or on Twitter. Your best bets for Monday Night Football tonight with the Ravens and the Lions. Our best bets for that game, side total and props, next segment to close the show. And just to give a market update, the Baltimore Ravens remaining a 4.5-point home favorite, the total in the game remaining at 54. But there's something that we have to talk about here that is as awful as it gets for us to have to talk about here on the show. And it is a really sobering and depressing bit of news from the sports betting media world. And it goes deeper than that because this guy was a friend to so many of us. You know, it almost like to have to say it out loud is really soul crushing. But I think a lot of our listeners and viewers know at this point, if you're on social media, because if you follow any of us, like you've seen us all tweet about it and write about it, that Dave Sharapan passed away on Saturday night. Battle with cancer, and I think there were the complications. I don't know the full story. I'm not asking anybody. I know that some people close to him had kind of intimated that this was a really, really tough health situation for Dave, and his health had deteriorated in recent months. And the last time that I had texted him, because he had said publicly what he was going through, the last time I wrote to him, one of his daughters wrote back to me, basically saying like her dad was in a bad way, but he appreciated all the well wishes. So this kind of came as a gut punch for all of us on Saturday night. And if you've been watching or listening to the show for any amount of time, you know, and Dave did so many different things. You know, he was on Sports Grid for a really long time, hosted a show with Matt Perot, Boston versus the Book. That was a popular show in the sports betting space. He was a guest on so many shows, so not just this one. But he is a big part of the beginning of You Better You Bet. Back when he was still working in a sports book, he came on with us weekly in 2019 and into 2020 before he left the sports book to pursue a media career. Didn't want to work in the sports book anymore. And came on the show a million times and would see him every time we went out to Vegas. You know, Ken and I would hang out with him when we went to Vegas. And then this past March, when Femi and I went out for the, well, Femi lives there, when I went out for the NCAA tournament and Sam's out there, and it was Sam's birthday, we all went out for drinks and to get wings for Sam's birthday. And Dave was one of many people that come and met up, and it was great to see him, like it always is. And that would be the last time that we would see him. And it's really terrible. And I just want to say that everything, and you can't say this about everyone. Like, I don't want to make, it's going to sound like I'm making this about me, but I'm going to spin this to Dave in a positive way. I feel like in moments like this, for me at least, I consider my own mortality. How could you not? Dave's 13 years older than me. He's born in 70. I was born in 1983. He's 55. I'm 42. Lost he passed away. I feel like if I died today, and God forbid, I obviously hope that doesn't happen, I know that there are a lot of people that really like me. I know that. And I think I'm a pretty good person. But I don't know that I'm universally loved the way that Dave is. I don't know that many people are universally loved the way that Dave is, the way that Dave was. You can't find one person that would say a bad word about Dave Sharapan. Everything that you read about him, that all of us have written, is true. It's not lip service. It's not like paying, giving flowers to someone who's passed away and like they don't deserve it. He's like the nicest guy of all time. An absolute sweetheart who loved sports and loved the sports betting world, but really loved his family and talked about them all the time. His wife and his three daughters. And it's just, you know, and he leaves them behind. And it's atrocious. And just, you know, sucks. Great dude and gone too soon. And just everyone should remember and just know what a great person he was. I tweeted yesterday, and other people are tweeting it also, and maybe I'll blast it back out. But please, if you have a couple bucks to spare, and I'm not trying to tell anyone what to do, it's your money, obviously do what you want, and this is not like a guilt trip situation. But if you have a couple bucks to spare, there's a GoFundMe page that has been circulating. I tweeted it yesterday, others have tweeted it, where money goes directly to Dave's widow, it's horrible to say, Dave's wife, and to his three daughters, who are all, I believe, like college age or like late high school going into college. So you have a couple bucks to spare to help support the Sharapan family in like what is a time of crisis for them, I am sure, and just a terrible time in their lives. If you could find a couple bucks to spare, I'm sure that they would really appreciate it. And again, this is not to like make anyone feel guilty. If you don't, that's your decision. That's cool too. But just wanted to say that in memory of Dave Sharapan, gone too soon. Rest in peace. We'll see you on the other side. You better, you bet on this Monday. And Femi, I'm sure you echo my sentiments on Dave. You obviously knew him. We hung out with him back in March in just a terrible situation.
Incredibly sad. And I definitely echo everything that you said. And like for those who are fortunate enough to have met Dave, like he is as warm a person as you'll meet. And I think that's a really good way to describe it. Very warm. The first time I ever met him, it felt like we had known each other for a few years. Like he's that kind of a person. He's very, very genuine and very kind and just a good soul. And it really is, you know, just another reminder that life sometimes can just be very unfair, which is a really, really sad situation that you ache for his wife and his kids. Like it's just really, really, really sad development and sad situation, which like you said, I encourage everybody, if you have a couple of bucks, please, because they're going to need it right now. And hopefully just to be able to help them kind of in any ways be able to kind of grieve what's happened. But yeah, it's incredibly sad.
Now, Dave was a funny dude. And if he were here, Femi, I guarantee that he'd be saying, can you like put your dog in another room? Because like I hear your dog. Like, can Willow go somewhere else? You know Dave well enough that Dave would be saying the same thing. Like, hey, Femi, like, we hear your dog, buddy. Like, we're on the air. Like, come on, man.
Believe me, we have been trying.
Well, let me offer you this piece of simple advice. Try harder.
Well, here's how I try harder at this moment. It's me getting up from this microphone and removing her, which I'm not going to do right now. But during the break,
see how it goes.
That will be taking place.
Let's see how it goes. And I feel like Mike Brown was so into like what we were saying about Dave Sharapan that I'm now centered off camera. Can we center me up, please? What's going on here, everybody? Can we make this a professional operation again? Can the dog stop barking and can I be centered on camera, please? Thank you very much, everybody. All right. Femi, let's talk about some games that we like. Dave would want the show to go on. Let's talk about some 100%. Bets that we like coming up for this weekend in the NFL or college football. Start us off. Give us something that you like that you've already bet or that you're looking to bet.
Yeah, and I always love that he always talk about this with the NFL and with sports betting in general. Nobody knows bleep. And it feels like that through 3 weeks.
It feels like that. Now wait until we have a great weekend where we win everything. And we're going to come on the air and tell you, and we're going to tell you how smart we are. It's going to be awesome.
I'm going to be doing the Aaron Glenn dance whenever I have a winning weekend. Like the little, that's going to be me doing that down the street, walking to the window to collect my winnings. But let's start with the early window next Sunday with the Panthers and the Patriots. This one's been on the move. I still think there's some meat left on the bone here. We're still under the key number of 6. But if you can find anything under 6, I do believe it's a bet on New England. And this is not just playing like the bounce back angle for a team that was unlucky to lose the previous week or whatever. They're just much better than Carolina. And I thought Carolina's win yesterday, while albeit very dominant, and give them full marks for getting that victory, because a division game, those are not easy to win, even though they were at home and they were an underdog. Like, that had a lot to do with the Falcons, man. Like, the Falcons just caught them on the wrong day. I think New England now very much has their attention, especially coming off of a bad loss. So I laid 4.5. I would still lay 5.5 if you have not bet this one. Anything under 6, I think, is a bet on the Patriots, who, oh, by the way, should be getting Christian Gonzalez back. Just so happens to be their best defensive player. I like New England quite a bit.
Yeah, and like, and you put him on, and Tet McMillan's different, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's nice.
That emoji with the smoke coming out of the nose. Tet different.
Tet different. I guess is how he wants to be called.
Yeah, that boy nice. Is that like the name of a bit that somebody does? That boy. Oh, that's Harry Douglas on ESPN.
Harry Douglas's thing. Yeah. Is that boy good? I think. Isn't it that boy good
bad.
Or that boy nice?
That boy bad.
Oh, is it that what it is? God, we're
yes.
nailing this.
So
one.
I think I've said this on the show before. I think the Harry Douglas bit that he does on Get Up on ESPN, that boy bad, I think is like the funniest bit in the history of sports television.
With the motion?
He's a riot. Like, he's ridiculously funny. We tried to get him on the show last year. He never answered Bill. I would like to get Harry Douglas. For Harry Douglas,
let's
if you're listening,
back,
help! Please come on our show. I would love to have you on the show. I think you're very funny very entertaining.
He does like the, like that boy, that.
Yeah, and he does, he humps the air. It's like a genital thrust.
He's getting Tannenbaum that boy to do back. It.
Yeah, it's hysterical. It's great.
It's really good.
So I'm with
really
you. Good. I'm with you on the Patriots. I also like New England. I'll get a couple other thoughts that I have. So I have not bet the Cardinals yet for Thursday night. And maybe I won't. Maybe I'll bet Seattle. We'll see. I want to see what the injury report has to hold. Are the Cardinals going to get any of their corners back? I'll tell you, I would like to bet Arizona. If this ever flips and the Seahawks are favored and the Cardinals get a decent injury report, I have to bet Arizona. I don't even know that I want to, but I think that's my preferred side before we see how injuries shake out. That's the Thursday night game. Vikings-Steelers, I would love a 3 with Pittsburgh. I don't know if we'll get it, but that's what I'm looking for. A bet that I made, and I hate myself, so this will dovetail with what I said at the end of last segment. And Femi, this is kind of like when you bet the Saints last week, and you're like, who wants pain? And you beat the market. Because you actually didn't mention that. Like, you took 8.5 with the Saints. You were just like, I took 8.5, and I said, who wants pain? Like, the game closed 7.
Yep.
So, like, and they lost 44-13.
Precisely.
I saw a number last night, and I may buy out. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'll buy out of this. I just, like, saw the number, and candidly, I was... Let's just say that last night, when I got home, the pen was mightier.
Ooh.
So I said, because why did I bet Tennessee? Because I got high. Why'd I take 7.5? Because I got high.
Yeah.
I bet on Brian Callahan, and I know why. Why, man? Hey, hey, because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La da 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 da. I bet New England. No, that one I actually like. So
yeah,
Titans were plus 7.5. And I was just like, this number's not going to last. Like, the Texans' offense is terrible. I took set. It was a numbers play. And it didn't last. Also, I think it might be a terrible bet. So I may buy out of it. I just want to, it's like, I'm just being transparent with the audience. Like, I did do that. Okay.
I mean, what's that injury report look like, though, for that offensive line going against Houston? You know? Like Zeitler was out in the game against Indianapolis, Latham. And it's like, all right, well, here's the Texans' defensive line on the road. Like, that's... Okay. But... From a number standpoint, 100% agree with you. I just couldn't click the button. Didn't want to do it.
I understand. Didn't want to do it. I may click the button on the opposite side and say, I want no part of this. We'll see. I don't know yet. I did text you last night, and this is one where, like, I'd like to know if Lane Johnson's going to play. I laid 3 with the Eagles on the road in Tampa. That number's 3.5 now. And, like, Godwin and Wirfs may be back for this game. So, like, look, these are, like, small bets on Sunday night. But just because I
Mike Evans
get
is
ahead
probably
of the market.
Out.
Evans, will, like, Evans is likely to miss. We'll see with the hamstring injury. What else? I like the Raiders. I haven't bet it yet.
So there's some pick out there.
Okay.
It's boundless. So BetMGM actually has Chicago
the money
line's favorite.
-110. Like, I'd like to bet a plus price if I can.
If it gets to a plus price, I feel like I will join you in that. I think they're going to win the game. I think this is like a great spot too, especially them Raiders coming off of 2 embarrassing losses. Bears, Caleb Williams turned the corner against the slump busters, et cetera. I love the setup for the Las Vegas Raiders. So plus money, I'm there with you.
And I texted you last night. I like both Monday night games next week.
Mm-hmm.
So I took 7.5 with Cincy. I think the number's way too big. Like, a small bet. I reserve the right to buy out if I want, but I did take that.
Yep.
And I have not bet the other game yet, but I will. I'm just waiting for 3, and I'm going to bet the Jets next Monday night.
I think you're going to get it.
Oh,
I like Miami.
I'm proud.
Give me Coach Capri pants.
Great.
I laid the 2.5.
Great. Great. So we can go oppo on that one.
Yes,
that is just an appetizer.
Game.
Just an appetizer for the week to come. Obviously, tons of bets. And our bets for tonight, the Ravens and the Lions, coming up on the other side to wrap up this edition of the show.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary. This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
All right, have some thank yous to dole out before we wrap up the magnificent Football Monday edition of You Better You Bet with all our bets for tonight, Monday Night Football, and otherwise. One wonderful guest joined us on the show, our BetMGM Network teammate, the great Sam Panayotovich on Twitter at SPShoot. Our executive producer today, Tyler Morales. Our engineer, Jake the Snake Hassan, our associate producer, Addie Bates, and our video producer, God's Perfect Creation, Downtown Mike Brown. 2 quick reminders before we welcome Brad Evans to the show. Everybody, please don't forget to download and subscribe to You Better You Bet in podcast form. So if you're listening to the show live, watching the show live, support the show even if you don't listen in podcast form. If you listen and watch live, just search You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. Click the subscribe button, 5-star review, write something nice, all that good stuff. And make sure to also, it would be great if we, since I say it every day, it would be great if we could get like a read or like, you know, some kind of graphic for it. This is me, like, saying subliminally or not so much, saying to the show crew, hey, guys, like, let's do this, please. Subscribe to the BetMGM Network YouTube page, youtube.com/@TheBetMGM Network. Like and subscribe, youtube.com/@TheBetMGM Network. And BetMGM account holders will receive an Any Sport Parlay Boost token. Score a bigger payout if your wager with the Parlay Boost token hits. Tokens can be used on parlays and same-game parlays. Make it legendary with BetMGM. Download the app and please gamble responsibly. Coming up after us on the BetMGM Network is a 4-hour live betting extravaganza known to you and yours as BetMGM Tonight, featuring our friend Ryan Horvat, who likes Jared Goff under pass attempts tonight. He tweeted that to me earlier at the Costos. And our guest at this time, the one, the only, the great, Brad Evans. Brad, happy Monday. Hola, amigo.
Hola, amigos. Hope it was a profitable weekend for you two.
Well, did you see the end of the Auburn game? Brad, what is your best bet coming up for tonight, Monday Night Football, with Detroit and Baltimore?
Oh, we're hopefully going to make some bank with Rashad Bateman. A guy's been very, very quiet on the side of a milk carton, really, to start this season. Only 4 catches for 25 yards. I'm going to go to the alt market, though. I think he gets 40-plus receiving yards tonight. I grab that at plus 120. So roll the shoulders and get seduced by the juice. Oh, you look at Bateman again, a guy that flirted with nearly 1,000 yards receiving last year, had 9 scores as well. He's been largely absent. DeAndre Hopkins has been the guy that's really stepped up on some of those bombs and flick wrists off the hand of one Lamar Jackson. But I think tonight is a night that Bateman is earning the spotlight. Why? He's going to see a lot of Terry Arnold in coverage. The DB for the Detroit Lions has allowed the most That's right, the most yards of any defensive back entering the week in the National Football League. Detroit is a collective just number 20 in pass EPA. Defense entering the week also giving up the sixth most wide receiver yards. So again, bank on Bateman. I'm going to take him to the alt market, 40 plus receiving yards. And again, that's 60 juice of plus 120.
Brad, get seduced by that juice. Brad, have a great show tonight. We love having you. We appreciate you. We will talk to you tomorrow on a Tuesday.
Mandatory Montgomery over 3.5 catches, you jackals, at plus 140. I'm out.
That's a truly unhinged Brad Evans joining us here on
You Bet. Jackals.
We love Brad. I love that. BetMGM tonight, 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern on the BetMGM Network, hosted by our friend, the great Brad Evans. All right, we are monitoring the injury situation. We're pretty static on the Baltimore side. We know that who's out for Baltimore. We want to make sure that Taylor Decker is in for the Detroit Lions. We'd like for Jack Campbell to be in as well. I guess if you like the Lions, you want those guys to play. So we will keep you posted as soon as that information comes in. But for now, let's get you all set. Oh, we do. What do we got?
So, Jake, not to interrupt
just
you.
Real quick, Jake, drop the dope ass beat. Femi, tell us what we have on the injury report for Detroit and Baltimore.
Yeah, for the Detroit Lions, the inactives are guys that are not noteworthy. So Taylor Decker is in. We have all Jack Campbell is in. Everyone is in. The inactives are like Craig Reynolds and Chris Smith and Mekhi Wingo and those kind of guys. So everyone that you would want to
Trey's
be in
brother?
For the Detroit Lions is in. Yes, exactly. Barkevious is
Wingo. Oh, is it Mingo or Wingo?
Or Wingo. Sorry, Wingo. Yeah, not, so you're right. Yeah, Trey's brother. Yes. Okay. Let's go ahead and get the Ravens inactives here real quick. I'm searching for this right now, and it is loading up. And for some reason, I just have the Detroit Lions. Here are the Ravens ones. So yeah, Jaire Alexander, healthy scratch once again.
Wow.
Patrick Ricard, Kyle Van Noy, Isaiah Likely, Nnamdi Madubuike. We knew those guys were going to be missing this game for the Baltimore Ravens. But Jaire Alexander, the guy that is once again inactive as he was last week.
Just announced Tyler Booker out 4 to 6 weeks for the Cowboys. And CeeDee Lamb's going to miss a couple games as well. Yeah, the Packers. And I mean, a related story, the Packers are getting bad.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, there's a 7 out there now.
Yeah, that's not a surprise. Okay, so side and total here, Femi. Ravens 4.5, total 54. How are you betting this game side and total? We'll get to Femi's Island. We'll get to the Prop King.
Small bet for me on the under. I just wanted some action on this game. I also do question how good Detroit's offense is. It's somewhere in the middle. It's obviously not as good as last week. It's not as bad as it was week one against Green Bay. But primetime on the road against this Ravens team, their defense has kind of struggled. They have some injuries as well. I just think that this is one of those games where the Ravens kind of flex their muscles. So I agree with the side. I think that's just fine. But the total, I think, is a touch high. So a small bet for me, under 54.5. Make sure you shop around because it is out there.
I like that thought. And based on like my prop handicap, if I had to bet the total, I would also bet the under. I may regret this. This is a small bet for me also. And look, like we host we have to talk about the games, right? And we're going to watch the game. So I'd like to sweat it. I do think there's an avenue for the Lions to keep this game close. While acknowledging that this would not be one of my favorite bets of the week if you, like, took it and compared it to, like, games played on Sunday. Honestly, maybe that means it's going to be a winner. We'll see. I did bet Detroit plus 4.5, and I have a small sprinkle on the Lions to win the game outright as well. And I think the area of attack for Detroit offense v. Ravens defense, which kind of leads into Femi's thought on the under of the game, with Nnamdi Madubuike out, and look, like, Micah Parsons beat Penei Sewell like a drum in week one. The Ravens don't have a pass rusher that can do that. The way that you want to impact the Lions, I think offensive line, unless you have like Micah Parsons or Myles Garrett, is in the interior. Like that Jared Goff does not want pressure in his face. And that's where you can have this Lions offensive line with Glasgow, Mahogany, and Ratledge, right? The new like interior of the offensive line. That's where you can have them. I think Madubuike being out is actually a big deal. And I think the Lions can have success like pounding the ball up the middle, ball control offense, keeping Lamar Jackson off the field. So if I had to bet the total, I would bet the under. I think the Lions can keep this game close. I think the point spread of the game should be 4. It's 4.5. So Demi Detroit plus 4.5, small play. Lions sprinkled on the money line as well. All right, you better you bet on this Monday. And with that, it's time for all the props, including the first touchdown scorers. And for all of those, we take a trip to the island.
Monday Night Football. Only have one game to choose from as opposed to a doubleheader. But we'll be back next week with a nice staggered double doozy. How about let's start with the Detroit Lions taking on the Baltimore Ravens. And for me, I gotta go with a guy that loves to do what I like to do. And that's gamble. And that's bet on sports. How about Jameson Williams, the wide receiver two for the Detroit Lions, 20-1 to go over the top and test the Baltimore Ravens secondary. J-Mo Williams, big play receiver. Hopefully big bucks in our pockets later tonight. And for Baltimore, I agree with the bald freak, our friend Brad Evans. Rashad Bateman has been relatively ignored in the Ravens offense. I think tonight, though, is the breakout for my man, Bateman. Seth, 15-1 for Rashad Bateman to be your first TD scorer. So it's Jameson Williams, Rashad Bateman, as your first TD scorers this evening. And I'll see you on the island.
I love it. You got to take that shot of J-Mo. It'd usually be like the rum on the island, right? This is where we're going to take the shot of J-Mo on the island?
We're taking a shot, baby. It might be St. Paddy's Day for us here this evening.
I love it. Absolutely love it. All right. Thank you to Femi on the island. Okay. All right. Now, okay. Listen. The Prop King is used to winning. Like big NFL Sundays. Like winning all the props for the 1 o'clock slate a couple times a year. Props, look, listen, like I'm frustrated. Props not been great. And I expect them to be great. My goal is to get back on track starting tonight. But I would guarantee that I'll win in week four, but I don't know if that's the case. It's early in the season. I'm hoping to turn it around. Let's attempt to do that right now. As the Prop King descends down from thy royal throne, traipses across thy royal purple velvety carpet, over to thy royal balcony, to gaze down upon you, the slobs, to issue winning prop bets for Monday Night Football.
Now approaching the betting window, it is your Prop King, Nick Costos. All hail King Costos!
All hail King Costos!
Worship me, pigs! I can't do the island voice, right? Like, I get canceled if I do that?
I get a little bit dicey.
I get the Jimmy Kimmel treatment, I think, if I do that. You know what? I side with Femi's Island. We're taking a shot at J-Mo tonight. So here's how I see it going. The reason why I kind of like Jahmyr Gibbs and especially David Montgomery tonight. The problem with Gibbs is, is he going to do all his damage in the passing game? Can he go over his rushing yards prop? Absolutely. I think David Montgomery could go over his rushing yards prop if I think Detroit can run the ball the way I'm expecting them to. But the way I want to be safe and play this is the Lions run the ball and have success and enables them to take shots down the field. I'm with Femi's Island here. We'll go Jameson Williams over 48.5 receiving yards. So, look, if you hear that analysis and it makes you want to bet something else, Gibbs, Montgomery, I understand. Waymo is how I want to make this bet. J-Mo over receiving yards. One anytime touchdown. So DeAndre Hopkins caught 2 touchdowns last week for the Ravens, but he barely plays. The number 3 wide receiver for Baltimore behind Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman is actually Tylan Wallace, Christopher's brother. Tylan Wallace touchdown is 10-1 at BetMGM. So pizza or beer money on Tylan Wallace anytime touchdown, J-Mo over receiving yards, and we will see you tomorrow on a Tuesday. And until then, for Femi Abebefe, I'm Nick Costos wishing you minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck.
Thanks for listening to You Better You Bet. Up next, it's BetMGM Tonight on the BetMGM Network.